Everyone, welcome to
the
month of December and our application review committee meeting. It's December 3rd, 2020, and the time is 7:33 a.m. I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Ms. Folks, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Dr. Millar?
Here.
Dr. Caterino?
Here.
Wonderful. We have a quorum. We can get started. Let's go to item number 3, which is approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion approved. We can move to item number 4, discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. Our first category is requesting approval to sit for the EPPP only. I kind of heard the tail end of the conversation, and I'm assuming it was regarding Dr. Gavin Baker. His transcript was missing with his degree posting. Was that what you were talking about? No.
No, but I will look that. Maybe I didn't switch out the transcript from.
Yeah, he had his Argosy transcript, but he did not have the Chicago, which would show the degree posting.
Okay, that may be my error.
Can you check to see whether we have it and the degree posting?
Yes, I will do that. Oh, I have to. It's always interesting trying to do a meeting and be remotely connected to my desktop. Let's see.
Yeah, we use servers, and I like that way better. So I'm not remotely connected, but I have access to every file that I have. I don't keep anything on my desktop anymore, so it's all secure servers.
That'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ms. Galvin, welcome. Good morning. We're just looking up an applicant's record right now. I heard you have a very busy morning.
Uh-oh, she's having
her. I don't see it. I only see the Argosy. You're correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know, Heidi, that the University of Wyoming has the lowest undergraduate tuition in the country?
So I am astutely aware of that and trying to steer my son in that direction.
I was really, really surprised. I was reading. And then they have a $500 million endowment for a public school. That is huge, and especially the size. So.
Oh, there's so much money pouring into that school for reasons that I will elaborate on when we have a chance to chat about it.
Oh, okay. I would be interested in hearing.
I do have his CSPP transcript. Let me get that.
Okay. Chicago one?
Yeah.
You see that he posted?
I was going to email it to you so you have it, but let me open it.
So we should go to our email.
Yeah. Date conferred August 31st, 2020.
Okay. That's what he said in his record. So I assume that he had it. Okay. Okay, so I didn't have any problems. He's just applying to sit for the exam. He turned in his internship, 1,900 hours. I'm good to approve him.
So I just have questions. Like, do they not get approved? Can they get approved before they have the correct number of hours of internship or postdoc?
He just needs 1,500 hours for his internship, and he needs his degree posted. So he does not need a postdoc for this category. He's not applying for temporary licensure, which is another category where you do need a training plan. But for this category, it's just approval to sit for the exam. He can, as soon as his degree is posted, we can review the application. and verify his internship hours. And then, of course, the other stuff like recommendations and things like that.
So then when he gets the 3,000, then he can sit for licensure.
No. He can sit for the exam right now.
Yes.
He'll submit his postdoc when he passes the exam, and he can do both at the same time. And then he takes them 3 to 6 months to sit for the exam. And, you know, they can start studying and then sit for the exam. They may have a chance. If they don't pass, they can take it again. And then it kind of works out that they finish their postdoc and they're done with the exam, and then they submit that. And then we will look at it again to verify his postdoc and look at the exam scores. So.
Okay, that's what I thought. The other question, this was, I know this person, they did not find any police records, but he was concerned about that. What is our policy if there were juvenile crimes?
When he was a juvenile, it was in 1983.
Yes.
We make a request. They said it's been,
For him, but I'm saying in general, what do we look at?
Well, it depends on the incident. It depends on when it happened. So I can't give you a straight answer. It all depends. If somebody got arrested 3 years ago for a DUI, I would want to see the entire record. We may even invite them to come to the meeting. We have to use our judgment. But, I mean, we do have some standard, you know, we do follow certain practice. 83, 93, 03, 13, I mean, it's, And he was a juvenile, and oftentimes those records are purged, so.
Right. No, it said they didn't find any.
And I'm very, my personal preference, especially when it happens, juvenile 40 years ago, I just want to move on. I don't want to. Re-victimize the person. So
no, I'm fine with him. I just started thinking, like, what if they had what would we do? You know.
Yeah, we will. Depends on frequency. You know, how soon it happened.
So it's okay. That's what I wondered, if there was an automatic. If they had a felony,
it's never automatic. We make the best judgment, and Ms. Galvin's here to guide us as well. So, Ms. Galvin,
it had come up when I was teaching at Argosy. Somebody had a record, and then they told her that she'd drop out of the program, that she would never be able to be licensed.
I don't want to bring that up because.
That's not true. That's what I wanted to know.
Madam Chair, Dr. Catarino, if I could interject. Administratively, I always ask when there's a yes answer on a criminal or misdemeanor yes answer, I always request the police records and the court records. And if those records are not available, I require a letter from either the court or law enforcement to state why the records are not available. That's the process administratively, so that if the records are available, you'll have them. If they're not, there'll be a letter stating that they're not available.
Okay, that's all. I just was wondering.
So we are done with that category. I'll go ahead and make the motion to move Dr. Baker to the full board for approval to sit for the ECCC.
Okay, I second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The next one is requesting approval to sit for the ECCC and licensure. The first one we have is Dr. Alexandra Curley. Do you want to give a brief overview, Dr. Catarina?
Wait, I have to open it up, please. Okay. Okay, so she went to she went to ASU as a degree from psychology award, a PhD in psychology awarded August of 2020. She has some people we know that are her supervisors, John Barton, Matt Meyer, So that, I thought that was of interest. He worked at the VA, which I believe they're approved in San Diego, and then ASU Health, Health Services. I thought she had all the qualifications needed. So I would think that she should be allowed to, should be approved.
She had one problem with her record.
Oh, I missed that.
And that is her third pre-internship experience was, if you notice, her supervision hours was, she did not meet the 1:10 ratio.
Oh, I
she
missed
has,
that.
And for the others, I calculated it two ways. I calculated overall to see whether it fell within the requirements, and I looked at it individually. The first two do meet the requirements. For the 417, she needs about 41 hours of supervision. She had 43. For the 400, she needed 40, and she had 40. And then the last one, 415, she needed. So it's very interesting. She says she had 36 plus 7, if you look at her form, which is 43. But if you look at the form that her, that was signed, so you look at the third one, and that is page, I think, 17. She had 415, and I could be wrong, so it's good to double check. And I only see 36 hours of supervision. They only mentioned 1 hour of group. Well, she indicated in the form which she completed that she had 7 hours of group. So it could be an error. It could be that it didn't. Maybe the one is a seven. Maybe should we check that, yes. Ms. Gal? You know what? No, which one is this?
The ASU one?
No, 417 is, that was the first one. Okay, so that's correct. Yeah, so 415, which she marks the Veterans Affairs. Notice there's only 35 hours of supervision. So that's the one that was the issue. Mm-hmm. So, and so she falls short of the requirement by 273 hours.
Oh, this is a good catch.
So the difference between her and the previous person is she is applying for licensure and exam. So in her case, she does have to show 3,000 hours of supervised experiences. And she does not show, I mean, I counted 2727 hours. So she falls short. There are two options. And Ms. Folks can work with her. She can move to just sit for the exam and then, you know, have a postdoc and make up the difference. Mm-hmm. Or she can resubmit her hours if there's a mistake. But, and if she does, we do need to see logs, you know. But at this point, we need more information before we can approve her.
Wow. Okay. Also, I wondered, one of the supervisors, I don't believe works at ASU. Does that matter?
It doesn't matter if they've gone. I mean, if they supervised her.
Even they don't have to be on site, employed on site. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the arrangement was. This is her pre-internship.
Oh, I thought they both had to be at the site.
No, this is pre-internship. That rule is for the internship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so you're looking at this page here, which says 36 individual, 7 group.
No, I'm looking at the third, the third one at the VA.
Oh, at the VA? Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was the other one. 35 and 1.
Yes.
That one? Okay. So face-to-face per week was only one. It should be two.
No, one per week. No, it doesn't need to be two because it's probably only working 14 hours a week, so it doesn't need to be two. And she can have group and individual for the pre-internship. You need 1:10, half of it can be individual and half of it can be group. So she needed 41 hours of supervision. She only got 35. If she had 6 hours of group or seven, she would be okay.
I see.
Easy one to fix. She can do, you know, she's graduated. She can do, I mean, she needs 200 hours. So
yeah,
it takes 1.5 months to get that. So,
right.
She may have another pre-internship that she hasn't submitted. So all we do at this point is Ms. Folks will send her a letter and let her know what the deficiency is. And then she has various options to rectify it.
Now, I just have another question, too, ASU Health Services one, right? So she has, she's working 40 hours per week there?
No, 10.
I see. Never mind. Okay. Yeah, that's a good catch. I didn't see that. Thank you.
So that's okay. So we can go to the next.
So do we vote and make a motion on this?
No. We've got three in that category, so we complete the category.
Oh, I see.
The next one is Chelsea Lynn Madison. Saidi, she is a rehab. She has been reviewed by the board before. She is doing her exam, redoing the exam because she didn't meet the score requirement. And I don't have any problems with approving her application.
Yeah, and that was my other question. They can do it. It said you could, at the fourth try, you ask permission from the board, right? And then if
you have to show a study plan. And
okay, so then
at this, the second one, we just, they have to reapply, but we just approve it.
Yeah. No, I think this is the one that had a good plan.
That's the next one.
Oh, yeah. So if we're allowed to give approval for the fourth, yeah, let her try again.
No, she's a second. The next one is Samara Servin. She's also a reapp. And Miss Folks, use a new word for me. A new. I like that word.
Yeah, she's applying anew. So she's already taken the exam three times.
Yeah.
So she had to apply anew and submit a new initial application.
So she is the one who submitted the study plan, and you're right.
Yeah.
Katarina, it was a very good, very reflective study plan. One of the more reflective ones I've seen. Really, in all these years. So I didn't have any problems with her rehab. So.
No, I didn't either.
So now we're ready to make the motion.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and make it. So we will move Dr. Madison and Dr. Servin to the full board for approval to sit for the EPPP and upon passing for licensure. And we will request more information from Dr. Curley.
Okay. I second that motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next one is request approval for licensure by waiver. All three of them, Dr. Katarina, have been reviewed for the board for a temporary licensure. I really like what Ms. Folks did. You did a little summary. The only thing I didn't know if it was possible, Ms. Folks, was you know, the three new materials that we needed to really focus on. I was wondering if there's any way it could be up front, you know?
Oh, I can do that from now on, sure.
Because that was really cool. Because then I went and I looked for those three and, you know, just glanced at the others. But you submitted the EPP, the postdoc, and the report. And so that was kind of cool, you know, that this is what we need to focus on and not, you know, because this person's been reviewed by the board. But if you have questions or you need to recheck, you can always go and look at the entire application. So
yeah, my questions on these, I don't know if the people from out of state, do the other states have, if they're licensed in New York, I don't know if they require less hours or more hours, or if their passing score is different, or do we just accept them?
No, we accept our scores. So for example, I'm looking at the first one. And if you look at the licensing score, we will allow the board to submit the passing scores. And while I cannot state the scores publicly because we don't state exam scores, it's FOPA, it's protected. I'm looking for it. What page is it on, Miss? I'm having trouble finding it. Ah, there it is. Where is the score, Miss Folks? Do you know what page?
Well, right now you're on the waivers. The score should be right before the National Practitioner Data Bank.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, right before their temp license receipt. After the references.
Okay. I don't see it for this person.
Yeah, because some of them I didn't see the score, and that's why I wondered to know if
you have the score. Yeah, Evan Lockery, we don't have the score.
It should be. Let me look.
And I didn't know the number of hours. I said, do we just accept it, or we have to look at that? You know.
So.
Here's some hours he has.
So his internship was 2,000 hours, so he needed 1,000 hours.
He had that then. I saw that.
I don't see the exam scores, you're right.
No, I didn't, and that's why I was wondering.
I've got them. Let me see. I thought they were in the file.
Yeah, yes, he has 4,000 hours total, but I don't see the test.
You're right. They didn't get put in. I have them, though. Let me email it to you real quick.
Let's go on to the next one. Do you want to do that, Jody Penny?
Well, wait. I have to get there. Let's see who's that. That the
Jody
doing a Pennington de Cosola.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me pull this up. Oh, I'm getting phone calls already. Okay. Oh yeah, this she was already licensed as a counselor. I remember this one. Okay. Oh, yeah. She started at Argosy, got her degree. It says, this was interesting. It said the graduation date was October of 2019. And then it said degree conferred in November of 2010. I wonder if she means 2019. So if you look at that, that was sort of interesting.
I would just look at the transcript.
Yeah, I think it's the 19.
Yes.
So she did get the degree from Chicago School, so that's good. She said, wrote that about the closure of Argosy. She had to transfer. She had 3,500 hours, and let's see what else is here. I'm looking for if she has forms. All right, here on this page. Okay, so she has 1,552 and a half hours. She worked 40 hours a week. She had 96 hours of individual supervision. So that would be 2 per week, right? No, well, I don't know. Is that enough? 96 with a 1,500. So would she? So was that?
She also needed 1,000 hours, and unlike the other person, you know, the other person indicated the number of hours.
So it looks to me like she had 2 hours for every 40 hours of supervision at a task, more than two. So that should be fine, right?
Yes. I think you need 75 meets the 1:2. So she's fine.
Okay. So that's fine. And then I'm just looking if that form is there now.
Yeah. In her case, I do see her exam score.
Yeah. She passed the test. But I'm looking, where's the, oh, that's it. NPDB form. Okay. So I think she's fine then.
Yeah, she's good. So,
because the only problem was the test score, and now she has it, right? Okay, so yeah, I think she would be okay. Is that an agreement?
Yes.
Okay.
And you're sending us the scores, Ms. Folks, for
Dr. Baker. Yes, you have. You should have received. You should have them by email already.
Dr. Lockery.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, let me check that then.
I don't. Yeah, now I see it.
Yeah, I see it. Let's see what I have here.
Yeah, looks good. Okay, so he's good.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's a good score. Okay.
And then the third one is Zara Raskin, and she is also a temporary licensure by waiver. I did see her score. Her postdoc looked fine, and I didn't have any problems with her application. So she's ready to move on to the full board for licensure approval.
Yes, I agree.
So she's good. Okay, so all three look good, and you want to make a motion, Doctor?
Yeah, I make a motion that we...
Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I am so sorry. I wasn't sure if I was on mute or not. My name is Rosemary Hodges. I was applying for licensure by waiver, and my question is for Kathy, Ms. Falks. I sent my application at the end of October, but I had a hurting thing.
One second, Ms. Hodges, you're not on the agenda, so you will need to call Ms. Folks after this meeting on her direct line.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would not be able to, because any people who are agendized can speak at this meeting upon our request, so I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. I understand.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Miss Folks, will you give Kathy, you said Miss Dr. Hodges a call after the meeting?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome.
So I make a motion that we approve Dr. Lockery, Dr. Pennington DeCosola, and Dr. Raskin for, licensure.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We're done with that category. The next one is by universal recognition, and we have two candidates. We have Dr. Ursula Myers. Dr. Ursula Myers is licensed. I cannot remember where I didn't write that down. In South Carolina, and she has an active license, no problems with her license, and she has a driver's license, so she meets the criteria for universal licensure. She got a doctoral degree in clinical psych, so everything looked good about
her. This is the one, too, where I don't think you don't have scores or hours, right?
We don't need that. This is universal recognition.
That's what I wanted to, I didn't understand that. Okay.
So universal recognition is a new category for licensure. So you've been licensed and you have a license in good standing for 1 year in another state. You can apply for universal licensure showing proof of that license and residency in Arizona. And residency can be met through various criteria. So those are the only two things we are supposed to look at.
Okay.
Is that right? Heidi, Kathy?
Yes, and Dr. Caterino, I do apologize. We have not done our due diligence to train you very effectively on the universal recognition. It's basically an abbreviated pathway that Dr. Malott summarized very well. It's a relatively new statute and one that this board has struggled with a little bit in the past, but recently I think we've landed on a shared understanding of what's required.
Yeah, this is why, that's what I was asking before, really. Like, what if that state's passing score was much lower or the hours? It doesn't matter then.
It does not matter.
Okay.
The only area that I think we've held our ground is having a doctoral degree, because we have had received applications with a master's. We have a couple of states. In the
yeah, country. There are some states, I think West Virginia, you can be licensed with a master's.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but, that's right. That's all. I was going to ask that today.
That was that question. Yeah. So in this case, that's all we are looking for. And, you know.
But they have to be living here, that they can't come from another state, I guess.
Well, they have to show us proof of certain criteria. I don't know where they're living. I cannot comment on that. They have to show proof of residency. You could have a driver's license. You could have a rental agreement. So.
I see.
There's many, many different ways you can show proof of residency in Arizona and driver's license. And we came up with a list. Which is in our rule language or somewhere. So,
I think it's a substantive policy statement, Dr. Malott. And yes, the universal recognition does require proof of residency. So it's not always an attractive option for people who they're unwilling to move until they've secured the license and the position. So this is a little bit of a, you know, for some, it's just not a practical pathway.
Okay, yeah. So
they could go to the other pathways, like just apply for licensure and approve by waiver, because they've already done the, and like both of these two individuals probably would have no problems going through the other way. It's just, this is just easier. You don't have to be tracking down supervisors, and you don't need recommendations, and you don't need. But you have to be in good standing. You cannot have previous record, and you know, so.
Well, and then, you know, on his score of the ECCC, they have, you know, I don't know, the 78 and New York test, 75.
You can't discuss, you can't bring up scores in a meeting.
Oh, but they're not three-digit scores. That's what I wondered.
Let me look, I'll look at it. This is Steve?
Yes.
I'll tell you. I just learned not to look at those because it doesn't do us any good.
Because I just thought it must be a different metric.
No, no, I can see the raw score. That's just the percentile.
Oh, that's a percentile.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't see it.
Raw score meets our requirements.
Okay, then I'm fine. I can make a motion to approve both Dr. Myers and Dr. Jenkins for universal recognition.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're done with that category and we'll go back to the agenda. And we have the COVID-19 work group. Let me go back to the agenda.
Yeah, and Dr. Malott, if you'd like, I can sort of provide a little bit of context about these.
Yes, yeah, that would be great.
Uh-huh. So I know you were both attending the ASPPB annual meeting, and I think all of us were a little bit caught off guard because ASPPB's work group had just released these materials a day or two before the meeting and had assumed they had been widely distributed to, you know, all board members in every jurisdiction. We hadn't done that because we hadn't, you know, we had decided that we would first bring it to the ARC, and then, you know, if the ARC recommends, review by the board. So you were at a bit of a deficit when these resources were being discussed during the meeting. But essentially what this consists of are optional forms that if you determine that they have value for future applicants, then we can incorporate them into our application process in some fashion. So really they're before you to, you know, consider, is this something that you even want, you know, to entertain?
So I am going to, oh, okay.
And you know what? I know I uploaded them to...
Yeah, I see them. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, very good. Yeah, they're just out of order. Sorry, they're high up on the agenda or up on the list.
The only problem, like, you know, when I look at each item, like, let me open up an application. I'll open up somebody's, and I just want to compare. Okay. So I'm looking at... what we would need to do, Ms. Pakkanen, is we have to make sure they align with our statutes. Mm-hmm. And so when I go to the residency question, I see a slight difference. For example, our residency question says 2 semesters. We don't say 1 year. So you see, and that's based on our statutes. Mm-hmm. So we would have to, I'm trying to find it on somebody's application. 18 semester hours within a 12 month, you know, so we have to see at least 18.
Okay.
And then here it says full-time resident, but they don't define it as specifically.
Okay.
And then we say in lieu is actually specified 300 hours, you know. Was there an identifiable full-time psychology faculty? Do we have that question? We don't have that question. So are we allowed to ask questions that are not part of our statutes?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, we don't have some of those questions for the program. But
what if we just take some of the points, like how did it affect your supervision, the number of hours, like the question 10, the question 11, we just, and question 12, we just add those to hours, maybe. 13 even,
mm-hmm.
14, all the ones that they talk about the, like, I guess 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, like number 11 wouldn't impact us. We don't ask students how they got their instruction on assessments. That is not something our board looks at.
That's so then part of the program. You don't need that, but it you might affect that. 10 and 12.
Well, so practicum is not required. Again, you just can use it if you want to, but you don't have to.
Yeah, but they might. We could have that. And then 12, I thought.
But we don't require it. So you see what I mean?
Yes.
So,
but I mean, some people use the practica for their hours.
But if they don't have the hours, they cannot use it.
Yes, but we could say.
But we couldn't make a modification. To me,
if needed, if you are counting your practica hours, how did this affect it?
Okay.
So then, and 12, like the supervision, I think was important.
That one is. Yeah, that one, because they could go beyond the 50% in, you know, not face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
We don't have 13 as a question.
What about 14? Do we care about that?
Nope, we don't have that as a question. As long as they have their degree and they show.
Well, we could change 10 to be internship. Practical or internship or postdoc, maybe. I don't know. I was wondering, what I wondered is would make a change in how many hours of face-to-face they're seeing because of
COVID. To me, the face-to-face supervision is the main criteria.
But some people, maybe they're... My supervisor just did it over the internet, face-to-face individual, like Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the one area.
What? But also I'm thinking with the clients they see in their internship, did they provide therapy over Zoom or in person, you know? Because maybe with their facility didn't do any in-person work. Everything was Zoom.
But that wouldn't impact our application. Because we're not asking them the modality of how they provided counseling services. If their supervisor verifies that they had direct service, we don't define that. So,
okay.
So the only thing that I see that is that could impact and could put them out of compliance is the number of face-to-face hours of supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one thing, Ms. Folks, Heidi, Kathy, I think this is a great form for students to have access to,
okay,
and complete, and you know, have it on record. At some point, we may have to do a rule change or something to account for this time period. You know, once we know when it ends, right now we're under the emergency order, so
mm-hmm.
I think we're allowed to make those exceptions, correct?
Correct, and the rules, Legislative and Rules Committee is already, they've already discussed and identified this as an issue to address in a rulemaking. Rulemaking takes so long that there is a concern that, you know, the rule change won't be in place, you know, once the emergency is lifted, and then we sort of have applicants, you know, caught in that gap.
Yes. The good news is if the applicant is at an APA-approved site, we do not review the specifics. We assume that APA and APIC have taken care of those requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So the postdoc could be an issue because that is not governed by, you know, people set up individual postdocs. So
yeah, it may be that we could potentially make a compelling case to the governor that would, I mean, I can't imagine this is the only profession where there will be individuals, you know, past the point in time where we say emergency is lifted, you know, there's going to be some residual effects. So I think we need to do some education about the, you know, what we're talking about here, along with the other regulatory boards who are going to struggle with the same thing that we see will present a challenge to us. I hope that makes sense.
So is it possible, well, these are not approved forms by the board, this could we send this to training directors in the state of Arizona and say, we, you know, just wanted to, you know, as, because some of, you know, not everyone, so maybe we're doing our due diligence in education, and mm-hmm. if we send it to the 3 state university training directors and Midwestern, and
Grand Canyon, I think, maybe too.
I don't think they have a doctoral program.
I heard they were putting one in. Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, so somebody told me. I'll double check, but I heard
that. That was a counselor ed, not a psychology.
I thought it was psychology. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, well, I haven't seen any applications from them, but I know they started a new counselor ed doctoral program.
But, you know, we're also going to be taking students from other states and graduates from other states.
We can make this available. I think that what will probably happen, and Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, but we'll hear from applicants that they are struggling to provide the, you know, the documentation that aligns with our requirements and statute and rule. They'll probably ask Kathy, you know, what do I have any options? Do I have any, you know, is the board going to grant me any latitude? And so Kathy could supply them or direct them to where these forms exist. And, you know, they can supply whatever supporting information that, you know, this board can consider.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want the forms to be reflection of as you, as they need to be to align with our statutes and rules. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is they may need some modifications before they're even quite ready to be available.
Yeah, I mean, as a helpful tool for students to just collect information, mm-hmm. but we would need to go back and match item for item, you know, and we would need to revise our forms considerably. The other question I have is, I know we're going towards that universal application process. And so then this whole, so I think it's a lot of work. I mean, looking at the very first form, I only saw one item, you know, that is a problem, you know. All of the other items, either we don't ask that question, so I wouldn't see why we would add it to our form,
right?
You know, or it doesn't apply. Like, we don't require diversity training. We hope students are getting it, I'm not saying, but we don't require it in our statutes, so it would be difficult for us to ask that question, because what do we do with that information then, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I mean, those are great forms. I like them. They're easy to use. And maybe we can use them as a model if we want to create new forms. But why should we create new forms if we are moving towards universal application? Because then we're going to be using their forms. And I'm thinking that's 1 or 2 years away. Is that correct?
Potentially, yes. I mean, this could very well be something that is an adjunct to the application itself. It could, you know, just sort of ancillary to what you really need to look at. I mean, I'm not a fan of implementing a solution that is seeking a problem, but I do want us to be prepared to, you know, receive information that, you know, impacts whether an application, the requirements were met, and were there circumstances that were pandemic related that.
So could we add a question to our form, maybe?
That's what I was thinking. Couldn't we add that supervision question?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just add it, and we could bring it to the full board meeting and get it approved. Okay. And so maybe we should look at all the forms and just see which other question would make sense, you know.
Okay.
So we definitely talk about supervision both for pre-internship and practicum.
And that's
what about the when they say full-time residency for even the 2 semesters, do they mean they would online count, or would they need to be in person for question 3?
It says 18 semester hours. We don't actually, if you look at our language, it's pretty.
But I'm questioning this full-time residency. Is that considered, full-time online? Because it says on campus, and like they could be you know,
you're right. That could be, you're right. That is a good point. Because I know I have students right now who haven't come to campus. They're fully engaged.
I have a client that's, you know, goes to another state part of the time because everything is online.
I'm terrible. Oh, sorry, I lost the forms. So maybe, this residency is a question that we are having even with before pre-COVID, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So,
nine is not required, but it would might be interesting to have that
answer. Yeah, so maybe, maybe this one, question number three, the residency question. We don't specify that a course should be online or in person or whatever. So I don't think we need that. The supervision is the question.
Right.
So number 12, you know.
Yeah. Do you think just 9 for our own information, just later on, so we could see how many people were affected and what way, just for our own?
We've never asked about length and cadence of courses.
Okay.
So I don't think.
Okay. So far we're saying.
People could take the course online. They could take it in person. We've never had those. You know, we've never specified the mode of instruction. So.
Okay. So 3, yes. And then 12, yeah. I think that's it.
Maybe the total hours of individual supervision. Did it differ from a standard practicum year? You know, the supervision questions.
Right.
They might have gotten more from, say, a master's level professional, and we do specify that it's only 25%. Mm-hmm. And
I guess those are the only two, I think.
Number of direct psychological services? I don't know.
What number is that? Well, I mean, we could say that make 10 to be practica or internship or postdoc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those maybe 3, 10 with modifications and 12.
3, 10, and 12.
Yeah, but 10 we have to say add internship or postdoc.
The other question that we have on the internship is, was the staff member on site?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
describe how on site was. They don't quite have it that way in their form, but we have it. So yes, on site has a broader definition under the pandemic.
Yeah. By the way, Grand Canyon has IO and counseling ed, like you said, doctorate.
They don't also have a clinical counseling school.
But IO think could get licensed.
No, they do not get licensed in Arizona.
Not in Arizona? Oh, nope. Some states have that.
Some states have that, but.
I didn't know that. And so with a PhD in counselor ed, they can't also?
Nope, they're not eligible for licensure.
Okay, anything else on this form? No?
I'm just looking. Maybe we could make the the internship form available, you know, that people could submit it, you know.
It starts on 13.
Yeah.
You know, the PDF. Okay.
Because on the internship form, you also have those training experiences, and I don't know if those got impacted, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think we could, you know, also the practicum, no? In case people use that. Both of them, I think.
The problem with the first one, okay, yeah. We don't need the graduate education except for the residency. Then when you go to the practicum, I guess part of my fear is we're giving people additional forms to complete, you know.
It's, well, if only if they're going to use their practicum hours would they fill that out.
Well, what if they don't need to?
Then they wouldn't have to fill it out. They would, if they got all their hours through internship or postdoc.
No, even if they got it to practicum, but they met our requirements. You see what I mean?
No.
Because we don't say, except for the supervision, where we specify that it has to be in person. If they did telehealth counseling, we don't say that's not allowed. So we would allow it regardless of how they got their practicum hours. So that's the reason I'm struggling with it. You know, I'm only looking at our statutes and will we need additional information to approve.
So are you referring to a specific question in the practicum form?
I mean, it goes back to what you said, supervision.
So, the supervision one, yes.
Yeah, that's the most, that is something that we're very clear on, you know. And that could be impacted as a result of the pandemic, you know. All the other questions is just extra work for the candidate that...
Well, and it's only candidates that have had their practica, internship, or postdoc during this year. Mm-hmm. I thought it might be interesting data to collect to see, too, like what kind of an effect did this have?
Well, we can't do anything with the data if we don't have an IRB. I mean, this is, you know.
So what are you thinking, that we should adapt any of these forms or not?
I think maybe Ms. Folks and Ms. Pakkanen, I think we just need to add the residency and the supervision and maybe add a question allowing people, and I think it should just be an asterisk if your experiences were modified as a result of the pandemic. You know how we do with the arrest record. We say, please provide additional information. And we can use the question and we can just say, please address how you know, if it did not meet the requirements.
Okay.
See what I mean? We can do a little asterisk, keep it really simple, so then we can pull it out. So at least we're collecting the information. And we can almost use their question language to help formulate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I mean, you're really distilling it down to precisely what it is that, you know, may need to be evaluated in conjunction with everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In relation to our laws. Yeah.
And I don't want to ask questions that is not under our purview, even though, you know, from an academic standpoint, it'd be interesting to know. I don't think we can just do that. So, a board, we're not.
I mean, like the group supervision might be affected, maybe because people don't want to get together in groups, you know? So,
yeah. Well, We don't require a group for internship. We don't count group supervision for internship or postdoc. So
number, what about like the number of hours in direct psychological services? That might be a good question, no?
No, I mean indirect.
Because they can't be more than, what, 50% or 25%? Don't we have a limit on the number of indirect?
Yeah.
So maybe those questions to see if they were changed. Then we know that they didn't meet our guideline.
So maybe you can add the direct hours. Did they meet the 60%? They can always have more. They can always have less indirect. That's not a problem. But they have to meet the minimum direct hours.
Yeah.
So maybe a question under that.
So number 7 on the internship page.
All 3. Mm-hmm. Pre-internship, internship. Does that give you enough information on how we can proceed, and then we can look at it at a big meeting? And I'd be glad to talk to you one-on-one, you know, before our meeting, if you want me to look at it.
Let me ask Kathy, are you comfortable, Kathy, if you and I get together and we mock up the application and then we meet with Dr. Malott to show our work and go from there?
Sure, that'll work. Okay,
great. Yeah. And y'all can just call Laura and she'll try to find it. I don't know why, even though our semester's ended, I'm just in meetings nonstop. So she'll find time. She's always good at finding time.
This is likely a next month kind of endeavor.
Oh, okay. Okay. A January. Okay, then that's great. Yeah, we'll find time.
There's no rush because we're not going to be considering applications quite yet that, you know, where these issues are a factor.
Yeah, because right now everyone comes under that clause where.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, because we might be in this situation till end of spring.
Right.
Okay. So was there another item?
Number 6, the application review tools.
Okay. Do we do we have attachments for that?
I know it's the one I sent you, and then you had one you said that they used before would be those, I believe.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to recall this discussion now. So
this is when I thought there could be like a summary instead of wading through everything, like a form that had a number of hours and the test score, like a little Excel spreadsheet that had those questions on it.
Yes.
Like, was the program AP accredited? Was the internship? I could see if I still have that, but I sent it to Ramona and maybe Heidi.
Right. We put this on the agenda so we could have this discussion in public session. So I think at that point in time, maybe we hadn't released to you, Dr. Caterino, the application review tool that it's one that has been historically used. Dr. Malott updated it pretty extensively when Dr. Gill was trained to serve on ARC. And so that's just, we think it's useful, but we should have this discussion.
Yeah, I just think anything that made it easier. So like, for example, the one here that didn't have the test score, if you had that like a little chart, you'd see that was missing instead of wading through that, you know? It just makes it easier to read, I think.
And I think the form is on the portal, too.
Oh, good. Let me see.
Let's see. Kathy, is it at the bottom of the portal page?
I remember this discussion coming up with Dr.
With Dr. Gill, yes. Okay, so if you scroll down toward the bottom of the portal, there's a section called Board Meeting Substantive Policy Statements. It's at the end of that section. It's called ARC Application.
Oh, yeah, there. Yeah.
That's it, right, Dr. Malott?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So there's the cheat sheet.
Yes.
And it's,
I didn't know that, so I just wrote up my own one. It's so much easier, huh? Okay, let me go to that. So, okay, let's see if I can
find it. There was another form, remember?
Yeah, that's
not. Yeah, that one is not here. I was trying to look at my emails because I remember y'all sending it.
Which one are we looking? I can't find the one you're mentioning.
It's the last one.
Oh, I see. The third section from the bottom. Okay.
Correct. But you're right, Dr. Malott. That is not the form that was updated recently for Dr. Gill training purposes that we need to make sure Dr. Catarino is familiar with too. Kathy, do you know?
So we did that in July, I feel like.
Yeah.
Wasn't that an Excel spreadsheet?
Correct.
Yeah.
No, yeah, because I came on in August. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, here it is. I made updates to the checklist.
Oh, great.
I found it.
Is it on here?
Send it to all of you?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that okay? Because we are discussing this as an item. It is agenda, is right?
Correct, yes.
It was at number 6 on the agenda.
Let me just send it to y'all. I found it in I knew I would have it in my... yeah, because this was the one that I sent you with the updates. Heidi, Linda, Kathy. Okay. Okay, you have it.
Wait.
I just sent it.
Yeah, and we apologize.
No, I don't have it. You sent it to which email, Linda Syke or Linda Doc Catarino?
I don't know. Let me see.
Because I don't have it.
Okay. I can't tell. Dr. Linda Catarino.
Okay, so we have a different two emails.
Linda Syke at AOL.com.
Yeah, I don't have it. Oh, great.
It'll take a second, I think.
Okay.
I just hit send.
So,
did you get Kathy, Heidi? Did y'all get it?
Oh, our server will take a few minutes, so I'll keep refreshing. But I think what we need to decide.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
I think what we need to decide is this something that we supply with the ARC materials each time, rather than sort of burying it down below with a lot of other, you know. Resources that we tend to forget about. So Kathy, is this something that you can put every time you post the application files, can you include the form in that section?
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay.
You think we should include it after each person's file? Like if there were 5 applicants, so we could mark it up right there, or just one is okay?
What do you think, Kathy?
Do a save as.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. It would be burdensome to try to do it for every application.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I find is at this point, I remember using it in my first year, but I don't need to use it anymore. I stopped using it.
Oh, see, that's why probably for me, I thought I needed this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First year. I see.
Yeah, so I that's why I said, you know, to have it with every form. It's just a check mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as a board member, rather than Kathy or Heidi doing it, we would need to do it because we have to verify that the person has the doctoral degree. That is part of our responsibility. If we delegate it to the staff, then I think, and I don't know, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I just feel like that is a board member responsibility to verify that somebody does have the degree. We have to look at the transcript rather than, you know, taking, because it's the responsibility is delegated to the board. The staff assist us in bringing materials together. But if we delegate that responsibility, which some states do actually, then we wouldn't need to have an application review committee.
And so. Dr. Malott, what you're describing is, just to sort of put it, you know, frame it in terms of the language in our statutes and rules, what you're describing is absolutely correct. The distinction that is made with, I think, most licensing boards here in Arizona is there's a set of administrative functions, and then there's a set of substantive review functions. So you'll see our statutes and rules and many other boards, the administrative completeness responsibility falls to board staff. So that's Kathy making sure a transcript is here, the supervision verification forms are here, you know, the application is complete, you know, and so forth. It's a checklist kind of effort. So the substantive review, which is very clearly, as you said, is assigned to the board, that's the, you review the substance of the material, of the content. You look for, you know, the things that are within those documents that we have verified are present, but you are evaluating the content, the substance of the content.
Yeah, so I was thinking, when I said the board, I was thinking maybe they could put the hours down or like that, but maybe not.
But you'd still have to go back and review, because then you're checking Kathy's work, you know?
Okay.
You couldn't say, oh, they don't meet the hours. That would not be.
No, they wouldn't make the decision. They would just
list the numbers. Even if they put 3,000, say they put 1,500 hours, and you're like, oh, good, it meets the requirement. But
you're depending on a secondary source instead of the primary source.
Yes, yeah.
And it's the committee's job to look at the primary source to determine if the requirements are met.
Okay, that's fine. But I this form is good. I don't know if I had anything else on the form I sent you, if there were any other points, but this one is fine. But it really is helpful, I think. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, sorry we didn't give it to you up front. So
we're always open to suggestions to improve upon it too. It's your tool. It needs to be useful to you.
So in my early days of serving on it, when I read an application, I actually liked hard copies of the form, because yes, then I could read and I would just mark it. You know, now what I do is I make notes on every application, and I'm actually putting those things. I look at the degree, I look at the program, and I kind of make notes. But, I mean, like some things, you know, ASU clinical psych, I'm not even worried about that program. I know.
No, that's why when I had that one, I thought, oh, that's fine. I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's a clinical psychology. Yeah. So that's an identifiable psychology program. That's APA approved. So, you know, I check. I don't have to check all those things. But if it's a new school, then I will go look for the APA, you know, if I don't know offhand. The training completed.
What about that? Should we have that? The staff could check. They don't know where to check if it's APA approved, huh?
Oh, she does check. Kathy checks, and she puts the APA verification in the file.
Okay.
And if it's not.
Yes, it follows the transcript.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always there. Mm-hmm. And she does it, even though she knows, she makes sure it's there for every single program. She provides the APIC verification as well as the APA verification. And it's part of the file. We used to not do that, you know, but I appreciate you doing that.
Okay. So this is, I'll just use this from now on. Okay. Oh, you know what? This is not on here, but if we're going to have any meetings with the school site committee. I don't know if we have
I'll
a date
send you
set.
An update on that. It's where we stand with that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
All right, anything else today then?
So this form might help. So maybe after at our next meeting, I don't know, is Dr. Katarina on the next meeting? Or is it switching again?
What do you mean?
The rotation.
Oh, I don't know. I thought I was going to be on this committee for a while now.
Heidi, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm looking on the calendar to see. I think we sent out the 2021 rotations, but I can resend.
I think I'm on this committee for 2021. I remember seeing that.
You are.
Yeah, I only know. I put it all on my calendar, but it's just for me. I don't know who I'm with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have the two of you paired up for January, February, March, April.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. So why don't you use this form, Dr. Carolina, for our next meeting?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
And then we can, go from there. I remember in the old days, they used to send us a form with but of course we got paper application. We used to get these huge boxes every month. And I mean, it was literally like a box. And then we moved to sending discs, and now of course it's electronic. So we've come a long way. So I can only imagine how many pages they copy, how many trees we killed. So the one suggestion I have, just looking at this form, because it is how many pages is it? I'm looking. 6 pages. What if we had like this form, and then we could make it like a one page, but we don't put everything. We just put degree, doctoral program. So then you'd have this form to look at, but what you're marking is just one page. So we're not, I'm just thinking if you're doing one per person, that's 6 pages. Mm-hmm. So that page wouldn't have the detail. It would just say degree and maybe okay, no comments. You know what I mean? Doctoral program. Then I think we might be able to get it down to one page. I don't know, just something to...
Mm. You know what? I think when I work with it, maybe...
Okay.
Let's see. Because I like now, for now, I like the detail. But then after I've done it, if I've done it as many times as you, I don't need the form. But after I've done it a while, maybe it would be, I could see what I don't need.
Okay. Yeah, I might play with that. That might be a good I have an idea, but I'll bring it back. So let me save this. We didn't make any changes after this, did we, Kathy, Heidi?
No, I think this is the most current version, but we can keep this on next month's agendas to continue the discussion, just in case either of you have time to, work with the form.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Dr. Yes. Caterino, as I'm looking at this and thinking about that a shortened version so that it's just a quick checklist.
Yes.
I can understand, needing the detail, Dr. Caterino, because I know I did for at least 6 months before I was comfortable. But I also know I do better with a short one pager. So I wonder if this one could serve as a reference.
Okay.
And then have a single page for your checklist as you go through.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate the time spent for this item. So thank you, everyone, for your contributions. And thank you to Heidi, Kathy, for all of your work for this, putting this meeting together. I was appreciative. That was a short agenda. So this was one of the shortest ones we've had this year. So ending the year on a good note. So do we have any other items? Okay, well, thanks, everyone, and y'all have a wonderful... Well, we see y'all again at the next board meeting. Is that a long board meeting? Is that an all-day?
I think it's highly unlikely it will be a long meeting. It's predicated on the board making one decision that will clear the deck of a lengthy set of actions.
Okay, so what I guess so I should plan. I blocked my calendar for the entire day, so I should keep it that way.
I think if you blocked your calendar for the entire day, and as I suspect it, you don't need the entire day, then you have a gift of found time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're saying though it's 7:45, right? It's not 8:30 that day, isn't that true?
I think it's an 8:30 meeting.
Oh, but I have 7:45.
Yeah, I think
I'd rather.
I think when we went to Zoom meetings exclusively, we did 8:30.
That's great because I hate early meetings.
Okay, very good. Yes, you'll be pleased. It's 8:30.
Oh, good. I had written 7:45, so good. I'm happy. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
So
have
much.
A great week, and we'll see you soon.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, did move to adjourn?
Oh, yes. I moved to adjourn.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.